by faith. We walk by faith. Saints of God. And then verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, I'm telling you, these are the weapons we're using, saints of God. And ain't nothing about that letting it go stick. It's not a stick. It's not a gun. It's not a knife. It's not a hand grenade. You know, it's not any of that stuff. Your weapons are the truth. It's the word of God. It's righteousness. You know, this is the things that we have to fight with, saints of God.
You are an awesome ruler.
Awesome ruler.
Put it all together. This is what we like to call you. Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call
you.
This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord. Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised Word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
First Timothy. Verses 12 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Recorded are these words. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, a worthy witness. A worthy witness. Though this letter is to Timothy, the son, spiritual son of the Apostle Paul, it is a worthy word to every believer based on that Peter said, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, when he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which time passed were you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Based on that, this relevant word is not just to preachers or ministers who have a preaching call, but to those who are part of the royal priesthood, who have a call upon their lives to live the example that Jesus speaks about, teaches about, and the word of God has been recorded for the believers to adhere to. Look at what Paul is telling Timothy. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let no man despise thy youth. It is important for the young people to understand that God has the ability to use your life at every age and every state. There is no such thing as God waits until you get old, until you get grown, before he uses you. God can use little babes. God can use little children. He can use adolescents, teenagers, young adults. He can use anybody who will submit him or herself to him. Paul is telling Timothy, listen, don't let nobody turn you around. Don't let nobody tell you that you're young and this is too deep for you, this is too heavy. You just go and be a child, enjoy yourself, because herein lies the problem with too many of persons who are not mature enough to understand that the Lord wants you from the beginning. If he doesn't get you to the end, that's one thing, but he desires you from the beginning. You will understand over in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, you understand how the preacher Solomon is talking about honoring God in your youth, serving God in your youth, knowing God in your youth. There's something wonderful about knowing God when you're a young person. Doesn't mean you're going to be without sin, doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but there is going to be a guiding force within and without that God gives to you to guide you along the way, to keep you out of a whole lot of mess children who don't know him would get into. It will give you a better overall life. It'll teach you, and it'll help you to be the kind of child you're supposed to be, not only to your parents, but in life. It'll teach you how to get the best out of life, because you will see that at this age and stage, God gives you the best. I want you to see some things in this text, because he's talking to a young man. He's not talking to a middle-aged man. He's talking to a young man, young youth. He says, be thou an example of the believers. Now, young people have got to know, if you are saved, you are not an example of just young people hanging out in the street. You are an example of believers. In other words, yes, you're a young person, whether you are in your early years, whether you're in your teen years, whether you're in your 20s, whatever the case is, yes, you do intermingle with them. You go to school with them. You have relationships with many of them. But your example should not be of that of just a youth, but of a Christian youth. Christian children ought to act different than regular youth. Christian children ought to act differently than other children. There ought to be something different about Christian people at whatever age or stage there is, so that the world may know they are an example of believers. Listen at this. This is what the word is saying. Now, not only in one area, notice in the word it starts off, because if you're going to be a believer, you have to be a believer in the word first. If you don't believe what God has said in the word, all of the rest of this makes no sense to you. If you're going to be a believer in the word, then it means that you're going to do your best to practice what the word says. Doesn't mean you're going to reach perfection overnight. Doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that you're going to do everything that you're supposed to do at this beginning stage of life. But it means you've got to start, and you know where the right start is. Because listen, parents, we have written off the fact that our young people learn at a young age. Now, all you have to do is look back generations and see the difference in the intensity of the ability to learn in little babes now as opposed to babes then. Little children now can tell you what you were a teenager before you knew then. I wish I had a witness here. You know, it's a whole different world children are exposed to than we were. We didn't have no internet.
when I was coming up, didn't have VCRs. Many of us didn't have color TVs till you got some older. I mean, didn't have all that is open and exposed to young people today at a young and early age. So what they are exposed to, we're not exposed to. And so more now should the word be the example. And parents have got to monitor some of this. If there is no, again, discipline and doctrine in the home, it's going to be difficult for us to get it to you on Sunday mornings for 2 hours, and you have all week long and you never get it but when you come in here. That's why it's going to take longer for that child to grow and to mature, and you're going to find out that the word teaches them how to teach, to understand their responsibility, and the word teaches them how to respect each other, and the word teaches them how to respect their parents. The word teaches them all of the things that you're trying to implement in their lives, to instill in their lives. So listen at this, because it starts with the word, and wherever there's going to be a good and firm foundation, it must begin in the word. It's all good to talk about what we used to do when we were children, but some of that stuff don't work now, and it didn't work then. We need to go to the word and set our principles and our doctrines on the word, because praise God for our parents, but some of them didn't know much word themselves. And they did have good morals, but good morals are not necessarily all together within the confine of the word of God. See, you've got to understand, God sets his own principles. He sets his own tenor and tone for us to study the word. Look at what else it says. Not only to be a believer in word, but in conversation. Do you know your conversation is what leads to your actions, demonstrated or deeds? You never see anybody talking about good things, good things, good things, good things, and then just practice bad things, bad things, bad things, bad things. Conversation lead. Now that it's done, yes, it's done. But I'm talking about your conversation usually and generally leads you in the direction of what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart doth the mouth speak. So whatever's in your heart is going to come out your mouth. And then what your body's going to do is follow what has come out of both your heart and your mouth, because you believe that. And so the more, that's why we got to speak positive things in our children's ear. Let them know they are who God says they are. I mean, there are people broken down because they have been told they're nothing. They'll never accomplish nothing. They can't make this. They can't do that. And the bad thing about it is it came out of their own houses. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you have got to believe in you. And if you learn the word of God, you'll find out God believes in you. And can I tell you, if God believes in you, it don't matter who does not believe in you. Listen, now some of you right now might live in a place where there are unsaved parents who are speaking negativity and telling you that you won't be this and you won't be that. Can I tell you again, my brother, my sister, God will affirm the fact in his word that you are special, you are precious, he loves you, he has given his best for you, and you can become the best if you will accept his word, his will, and his way, and he can start undoing all of that mess that others have torn down in you, and he'll begin building you up right. That's why the Bible says that the common folk heard him gladly. Because he never put down on the little man. He always told him, man, you something else. You're somebody. He picked him up, and he wasn't just shooting jive to him. He was actually looking in. He looked at Peter. Peter wasn't nothing but a pebble. He said, man, one day you're going to be a rock. Boy, I see some good thing. You'd be like me. Not me. He ain't talking to me because he don't know me. I'll cuss him out in a minute. The Bible shows that. I'll start fighting in a minute, throw down, and I'm ready to go. That was Peter. But Jesus saw something in Peter that Peter didn't see in Peter. And see, when you begin to build folk up and when you talk to folk, learn how to encourage. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, I turn a deaf ear to folk who's always talking about negative stuff, negative stuff, negative stuff. See, because can I tell you, people who bring negative stuff are usually folk who are hurting themselves and they just want to bring a little pain to your life. If you ain't got nothing good to say, keep it to yourself. I wish I had a witness. Have you ever been flying high and some hurting person who just want to inflict some pain on you come drop some mess up in your ear and you drop from 30,000 feet? And can't hardly get up because of the mess they put on you. Listen, you need to know. And see, listen, one thing about messy folk, they don't just turn on and off. If they're messy today, 9 out of 10 times they'll be messy. So you need to learn how to screen folk when they're a mess. Talking long, they talk good. Yeah, but did you hear? No, I didn't. Don't care to. See, that's how you do messy folk. You don't even let them get a start. Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame. It's a shame. Well, if it's a shame, pray for it, because you know I don't even want to hear that. You got to learn to let your conversation be upward and inspiring, and that has good substance in it. Look at what else he said. Not only in conversation, but in charity, in love. We have got to be believers in love. We've got to know that everybody does not know the Lord God that we serve and does not have that spirit of love that we have. So sometimes we've got to be the first one to say, I'm sorry. And when you say, I'm sorry, it's not because you've done anything, but it could be that you're sorry they don't understand what they're doing. When Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do, he wasn't saying, I'm the problem. He said, I see the problem, but the problem I see is that they don't even see. And if they truly saw what they were doing, they wouldn't be doing it to me. So you've got to have enough love to look beyond their faults, their shortcomings, and see that God has placed in them, just like God looked beyond your faults and see that he has placed in you. But not only does he talk about charity, he talks about in spirit. The spirit of the saints should be fueled by the power of the Holy Ghost. I should get my charge, and I should get my joy, and I should get my peace, and I should get my power from the Holy Ghost and not from some earthly subject. I should be able to find myself in a place looking and seeking the things of God to empower me by the power of God. And so I flow in the Spirit of God, and I'm more concerned about the spiritual realities that will manifest themselves in the natural more than the natural things trying to find their way back to the Spirit. And so even in spirit, I am to emulate that of believers. When you look at this word and see how Paul is instructing Timothy, you're going to see that the same truth applies to the believer today. Look at here. I want you to see this word here. He says, in faith. Now, all of these things are things that we're supposed to be examples of. Don't care whether you're a preacher, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a member who sits out in the pew. This is all for the believers. It says, in faith. When others cannot see the things that God says, and God has so strategically placed you in areas and arenas where there are people who are not people of faith. But why has he placed you there? Why, after he saved you, did he just not put you in a Christian environment, on a Christian job where you were surrounded with nothing but Christians? Why didn't he send you to a Christian school where there were nothing but Christian teachers and Christian leaders and Christian faculty and Christian student bodies? Why didn't he put you around nothing but saved folk? Because he wanted your faith to be an example to those who are faithless. God allows you many times, and I've learned this in my own experience and even through the word, that everything you go through ain't necessarily for you. Sometimes God lets you go through it because you're the strongest one around you that can go through it and come out of it successful. And when folks see you have gone through it and come out of it, then it gives them hope to know that it can be done. And then that's why folk want to know, how is it done? How do you think folk who have accomplished things can write how-to books? Because they have experienced it. They've done it themselves. They know what has happened. They know what it takes. They know how to do it again and again, because these are principles. And once you learn the principles and you practice them, it is not prejudice. You will get the same results. Again, you don't have folk writing books on how to fail, how not to be prosperous, how not to live your dream, because every one of us know how to do that. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. It says, in purity. That should be some examples that we set. Just because everybody else is doing it, young people, does not mean that you should engage in it. Everybody else is smoking. Whether it's cigarettes, whether it's crack, whether it's coke, or whatever it is they smoke, it's not necessarily something that is going to make them any better than what they are. Matter of fact, it brings them down, and they don't see that. But you have got to walk in your purity. Just because they're doing it doesn't make it right, nor does it mean you have to participate. be your own person. Just because the group is doing it, and if the group starts going left too much, then that means you need to go right. Because the pressure for you is going to be unbearable as you go down the road, because they're going to keep on, why are you such a party pooper? Why don't you ever participate? Why? And if you can't be a positive influence, then they're going to be a negative influence on you. But at some point in time, even your purity should stand out. There ought to be something about the way you handle yourself. There's nothing more degrading than a man or a woman cursing like a sailor. And you know, I mean, what's bad about it, they think it's cute. Young people, you hear them cursing. I mean, even the records they read, they sing. I mean, every other word is, if it's playing already, it bleep, 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 bleep. And you sitting there listening to that. Now, if you're going to sing the song, guess what you got to do? You got to sing the filth that they're singing to sing the song. I mean, you know, where does that show the purity in your walk with Christ? I ought not even want to be listening to filth like that. I mean, there are Christian videos to watch, but when you the TV on and you go right there to the videos with that same kind of mess and all the rest of that, I mean, all of that is going into your eye gate, into your ear gate. It is turning the desire of purity away from you. You've got all of these, yeah, hoochie mamas dressed up there, and that's what sells the video. And can I tell you, hoochie does come in good-looking packages. That's the only way some of you want to listen to that field. They got some Gucci mama. If she breathes, you catch a cold. And all of that. And there's some of our young women. Some of our young girls. We come there with stuff too tight, you can't breathe. Stuff so short, you can't bend. I mean, stuff that is so provocative till you wonder why a man wants you for anything else but what you advertise. I want a man that want me for my mind. Well, wear some clothes. I get sick and tired. My deaconess can't even enjoy our service for sisters coming up there with skirts so sharp they have to run, give you three. Brothers can't even collect the good. Y'all ought to hear me here. How about a little purity, a little modesty? I said it before. Old preacher, when I was coming up, and in his day, he's gone, Reverend Otis, way back in the Lorville area where I pastored. He said when he was coming up, if they got to see a little bit over the ankle, they got excited. If they got to see some calf, they got excited. He said, nah, they not just only show the calf, they show the whole calf. Where is the purity? Where is the purity? Look at this. He says, till I come, give attendance. He's talking to young Timothy, telling him, listen, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You focus your mind on things that will feed you, that will cause you to be fruitful, that will lift you, that will build you. Focus your mind on some things that are worth focusing your mind on. Sit down, open up the book. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Get in the book and learn something. Because when you learn something up here, you can talk something out of here. You learn something up here, it goes down in here, in your heart. So he says, learn to sit down and read and learn how to do those things that uplift and exhort Learn how to deal with doctrine, because it stabilizes you and gives you substance and makes you stable, stout, and strong. And look at what he goes on to say. He say, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. He's saying there is a gift that God has given to you. It's a spiritual gift. It's a gift of ministering the word, teaching the word, being able to share the word in a unique way. He says, stir up that gift. What is your gift? What is your gift? Whatever your gift is, if you are not operating in your gift, then you are not operating the way God has designed you to operate. You will never ever be fulfilled, brother, sister, when you're not operating in your gift, not my gift, your gift. But listen at this. God, in some of us, has placed multiple gifts. And just to function in one gift and leave the others dormant is still not occupying, nor is it exercising what God has given you to do. Whoever you are today, my brother, my sister, are you making good use of your gift? Because can I tell you, every gift you have is a spiritual or divine gift that God has divinely given to you. Man has not given you that gift. God has given you that gift. And so if God has given you that gift, then obviously he has given you that gift for his glory. But if it is for his glory, he always ties in it with goods for you. Your gift will make room for you. And I'm not just talking about giving good gifts as a financial or even as a bribe or things of that nature, as some of the interpretations will give to that scripture. But the gifts that God has placed in you will bring you to places that people of renown would be glad to see demonstrated because of what God has done in you when you utilize your gift. If it's drawing, use your gift. If it's singing, use your gift. If it's an oration, use your gift. I mean, whatever the gift is, use it, and God will open doors, make ways, and bring you into places you never would have gotten otherwise. Now listen to what he says in his word. He says, meditate upon these things. Now notice here how he's directing his attention. And parents, this is what we have to do to youth. We have to direct their attention. If we never give instructions and if we never give directions for them to focus, they will be left then to focus on whatever is out there. And can I tell you, there is a world of mess out there that you don't want your children focusing on. So you've got to direct their attention. You've got to lead them, and you've got to give them a focal point so that they will know what it is that pleases you, what it is that pleases God. Focus their attention. Look at what he tells them now. He says, meditate upon these things, the very things that he has already issued, and what he's saying too. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. When you do what you're supposed to do, everybody ought to know that you are good at what you do because you're doing what you're good at. Y'all ought to hear me. Some of the things that you're good at, you don't want to do those things, trying to do other things you want to do. But you will be good at the things that God has gifted you to be good at. And can I tell you, can't nobody beat you better at being you at doing the things God's called you to do? Listen at this. Listen, because it's coming to a close. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Whole lot of us start, but then we give up. We stop. We walk off the path. We give it up. We abandon it or exchange it for something new, for something different. Can I tell you, the word of God, the will of God, the way of God is the only thing that has within its confine all of the good success that you can live both in this life and the life to come. There is no other book in within the contents of any other covers of any other book that will give you the fullness of life in every arena other than this book. That will lead you to do things that will take you to higher heights, give God greater praise. There is no other book other than this one.